The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
This is Minnesota Native News Community Health Conversations with hosts Leah Lim and Dr. Anthony Stately. Minnesota Native News Community Health Conversations is supported by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Anine, hello, I'm Leah Lim.
And I'm Anthony Stately. We're back with more conversations, more explorations about how healthcare in Indian Country is responding and adapting beyond the COVID-19 pandemic. Big wish and thank you all for joining us.
Bonjour, Dr. Stately. How are you doing?
Hey there. I'm doing well, Leah. How are you?
I'm pretty good. What's new in your neck of the woods?
The thaw is complete, I think, right now. So I'm looking out the windows at my very, 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 very brown yard and wondering if I'll ever see any green in the state of Minnesota ever again, which is very sad. But, you know, one can only hope and one can pray. So that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm praying for some precipitation every single day because that will be a really good thing. Getting ready for spring break.
Mm-hmm. Slightly funny anecdote. I was walking on my driveway, you know, my gravel driveway. Something caught the corner of my eye on our property. And I was like, what is that? Is that trash out there? And as I got closer, I was like, oh, that's just a tiny little patch of snow. Like, that's how little snow had. Like, we're not used to it. I thought it was trash in the yard.
Right. I saw signs of spring. I was like walking my dog the other day, like up the hill, and I saw something, this big, huge thing in the tree. And I was like, what is that thing? And I got closer because I have all the old eyes. And it was like somebody's kite, a big, huge kite that looked like a dragonfly stuck in the tree. And I was like, oh, well, that's, you know, a good sign of spring coming.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm really looking forward to today's conversation. We're going to be talking with two of the hosts from the podcast Remembering Resilience. It's a really neat podcast. They're on their third season. So we're talking to Brianna Matrius and Susan Bolio, both excellent people. And we'll be talking about boundaries and how perhaps the pandemic kind of made us look at boundaries even more so. So I'm really excited to talk to them about that because, you know, boundaries, we talk about that all the time, you know, being a good relative, you know, what are we willing to tolerate when it comes to interactions with other folks. So this has been a big deal. So I hope to get some good insight from them both.
Yeah, I was so happy that we discovered this podcast. I went back and listened to like three of their episodes, the first three, I think. And good friend of mine, David Knoyer, is also on there. And, you know, it's a really wonderful podcast. They talk about some really important things related to sort of, you know, resilience and healing. And the boundaries episode is absolutely awesome. I think that it is important for us to have that conversation specifically as, like, you know, we just mentioned, spring is busting wide open. People are going to be out and about. We're on the verge of, you know, American Indian Month coming up soon. People are going to start going back to powwows. You know, powwow season is like right around the corner. And so, you know, we're going to be all up in each other's space and public spaces. And we got to sort of remember, like, you know, how do we show up and be a good relative and take good care of each other and be responsible for our own well-being and responsible for other people's well-being?
Yep. But before we get to that conversation, let's catch up a bit about where we are now. So the number of people vaccinated over time continues to go up, continues to increase, which is good news. So don't forget to stay up to date on your vaccines. Only about 20% of Minnesota's population is caught up on vaccines right now. So keep it going.
Yep, keep it going. And then, you know what? One of the things I was going to say, I went and saw my primary care provider and I asked if I could get an updated COVID vaccine and the RSV vaccine, because I'm going to be on a plane on my way to Scotland in a couple of days. And they will tell you if you are ready for one or not, and then we'll let you know. So it doesn't hurt to ask, because they will tell you, like they did me, like, you don't need one yet. You're fine. Yeah, just ask the doctor and they'll tell you. But also, according to the syndromic surveillance data, COVID-19 rates have dropped by 1% since this time last year. However, flu-like illnesses have increased by over 4%. So keep in mind that the same precautions as wearing a mask and washing your hands work against the flu and RSV as it does for COVID-19.
Yeah, that's been pretty nice to remember, because, like, who wants to get sick no matter what it is?
Certainly, like, there's nothing worse than being sick at the beginning of springtime. It's horrible.
So true. Many of us, spring break, I know you're traveling. I'm going to San Diego, trying to catch a couple rays there. But spring break, again, is upon us, which means increased travel and gatherings. And our community, Native communities across Minnesota, still have some of the highest COVID-19 rates compared to other ethnicities. So it's important to set healthy boundaries and habits to keep you and your family safe.
Yes, travel can bring you into contact with people coming from places with different levels of COVID-19 and other respiratory diseases. So the CDC recommends that you consider wearing a high quality and secure mask in crowded or poorly ventilated areas.
And if you find out you've been in close contact with someone who has COVID-19, watch for symptoms for up to 10 full days. Symptoms range from a fever of 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit or greater. Symptoms also include a cough, sore throat, or shortness of breath. So, Dr. Stately, do you have any other advice you'd give to folks who plan on traveling during spring break, especially those who are going on cruises? How about that?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't have a lot of cruise experience, quite frankly, to be that blunt. But, you know, I've always imagined myself going on a cruise, and the desire to go on a cruise actually changed after I experienced the COVID-19 pandemic. Because you all remember, I was sick. I ended up in the hospital. So, like, I am, like, uber cautious. So I am leaving for Scotland in a couple of weeks. I'm in a week from today, and I am going to be, you know, on the plane with the time change and also with the transition from one plane to another. I'll be, like, you know, in a whole lot of other really tight spaces and quarters, breathing other people's air for probably 12 hours straight. So I'm going to mask up. And I don't care if anybody else on the plane is wearing a mask or not, I'm wearing one. And, you know, I got a RSV vaccine so that I don't get RSV. And then I'm up to date on my COVID-19 vaccine. I think you can do a lot of things. You could do things like be really conscientious of, like, you know, when you're boarding the plane, you oftentimes end up being in that long, long hallway of, I like to call it the, you know, the cattle thing, because I always feel like a sheep. I'm standing there waiting and waiting to get on the plane. So what I try to do is I try to, like, you know, I wear a mask in that part of the trip for sure, because you are essentially in a big, huge, long, you know, unventilated, you know, metal container at that point in time. So, like, if you're going to be breathing a lot of air, and I think doing things like, you know, bringing masks for yourself, and especially for anybody who's vulnerable in your family, someone who's older, an elder, someone who has, like, you know, immunocompromised conditions, young ones, if you're taking your baby, or, you know, someone under the age of three, those guys have little teeny tiny airwaves. So, like, when they get RSV, it really does impact them tremendously. You know, it is much harder for them to breathe because it causes swelling in the airways. And that can be really, really damaging for a young child and really life-threatening. So just want to be sure that people are doing everything they can. And, you know, if you can, go see your primary care doc before you go, or your pediatrician, and ask them for what you might need to support. If you're traveling out of the country, it's even more important that you're meeting with somebody who has infectious disease knowledge and experience about how to manage travel and help you to support that.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good thoughts. Well, I'm really looking forward to today's conversation.
Yeah, I'm really excited, Leah, for your conversation with our guests this week. I think it's going to be a wonderful visit.
Minnesota Native News Community Health Conversations is supported by the Minnesota Department of Health.
We're happy to have Susan Bolio and Brianna Matrius from the podcast series Remembering Resilience joining us today. The series was created in 2015 and has grown since then. It was designed to build awareness regarding the root causes of contemporary issues tribal communities face. So, Susan and Brianna, hello, hello. Can you both take a moment to introduce yourselves? Brianna, would you like to go first?
Buju, Nawakamugu Kwe Indishna Kas, Namain Dudame, Ajamug, and Dunjaba. Hello, everyone, and it's an honor to be with you all in this space today. My name is Brianna Matrius, and I am an enrolled member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. I am the new Healing Justice Coordinator with NDN Collective, and it feels really good to be back in this podcast space with you all. Thank you.
And Susan.
Buju Naganabanesi Kwe Nandijnakas, Mekazin and Dodem, Miskwagame Vizaga Ignin and Donjaba. My name is Susan Bolio, and I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation and am currently the Healing Justice Director at NDN Collective.
Excellent. Can you tell us a bit about the podcast, maybe just a little bit of an overview and why you decided to do this podcast? Susan, I'll have you start.
The podcast really came out of the Tribal Neurosciences and Community Wisdom Project. So NEAR stands for neuroscience, E is epigenetics, A is adverse childhood experiences, and R is resilience. So it was the way that we designed a project to bring this information around historical trauma, adverse childhood experiences, and resilience to our Indigenous communities here in Minnesota. And so then that was the project. And from that project then was sort of birthed the podcast. We started by doing presentations, adverse childhood experiences, ACE interface presentations. What ended up happening is this then evolved into the idea of a podcast. Everywhere that we went, every time we were having conversations, people were saying, we need to get this out to our tribal communities. Like, people need to know this information. And so it was actually David Knoyer. It was his idea to create it into a podcast. Originally, it was going to be a radio show. That didn't work out. He's like, well, let's still do it. Let's do it as a podcast. And so that was how the idea was birthed.
Yeah. And podcasting is such a great way to get your voices out there. Kind of the... just this open expanse of opportunity. So Brianna, can you tell us why you decided to do the podcast with the rest of the crew?
Thanks to Susan. Susan and I were a part of the American Indian Resource and Resiliency team through the University of Minnesota Extension. It was through her invite that allowed me to be a part of that season two. A lot of the things that we talk about are the things in our tribal communities, you know, what our relatives are experiencing everywhere. And so we really wanted to be transparent and allow people to hear these things that maybe aren't talked about a whole lot in our communities, but we really wanted to bring about conversations and sort of bring them to the surface. And I just love that this is a way for us to talk about some of these hard topics and bring about awareness.
Thank you. So, community health conversations, you know, we talk about how Indian country has adapted and responded now beyond the COVID-19 pandemic. And I remember having these conversations when the pandemic started of what is Indian country or Native communities' reaction to the pandemic in a way that maybe highlighted past experiences from our ancestors or other experiences with other pandemics or concerns about medical interventions and things like that, that really brought up the past or brought up experiences that happened in the past. So what I think is really interesting, when I checked out the third season of Remembering Resilience, was talking about boundaries and holding ourselves and one another to boundaries, especially in the wake of the pandemic. But first, do you mind giving us an overview of boundaries and how they play a role?
Awareness is really the first step in making shifts and change. And then there are other steps along the way, but we really see this podcast as a way to be able to expand that awareness, to create that larger, like, shared understanding about what these topics are and how they're connected to trauma, so that we can understand, like, if this is what's happening because of unprocessed trauma individually and collectively, then the solution is not just to dump more money into the symptoms. The solution is to begin to process, integrate, release, alchemize that trauma energy in a way that we can use it in a good way moving forward and change the trajectory for ourselves, our families, and our communities.
Brianna.
When we start to understand who we are, when we start to understand our traumas, when we start to understand sort of where all these things and challenges that we face, we get a better idea of who we are. And when we get a better idea of who we are, we also have a better idea of how we want to show up in this world. And I would say that through the pandemic, you know, there were many things that took place that were hard, that were challenging. For me, it's been sort of a bittersweet time, because that's when I really started to understand about boundaries and understanding more about myself, and understanding that boundaries is not there to say keep anybody out, but it's to protect our spirit. It's to protect our bodies. It's to protect our heart. Having healthy boundaries means that we're taking care of ourselves. So in season three, during the boundaries episode, I believe I had shared that during the pandemic, I decided to leave a 16-year marriage that I didn't feel was emotionally safe. Physically safe, yes, right? I feel like physical safety is often easier as we're adults, but to really have somebody there with emotional intelligence and showing up in a good way is something that I got really clear about after I left my marriage. And now I feel like it's going to be a little bit easier putting up boundaries moving forward, because I'm like, I'm dead set. Like, there's no way I can go back to that lack of safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. And that first step in establishing those boundaries and enforcing those boundaries, that's a big step.
You're listening to Minnesota Native News Community Health Conversations. This program is supported by the Minnesota Department of Health. Find information about COVID vaccines and boosters online at mn.gov/COVID-19.
Yeah, and what we talk about quite a bit on Community Health Conversations is being a good relative. And what I think there is a parallel there, and understanding that, you know, being a good relative does involve boundaries, in regards to ourselves, like being good to ourselves as well. So thanks for sharing that, Brianna. How about you, Susan?
Yeah, I guess one of the things I'd like to add is that both like my personal experience and just understanding how trauma tends to work is like, when we experience traumatic experiences, either individually or our ancestors collectively, like we were not able to hold and maintain our boundaries for personal safety, for taking care of ourselves and each other. Like, you know, the way that trauma impacts us, it makes it so like what we want and what we need, it's not taken into account. It doesn't matter. And so sometimes we get that message, or we begin to internalize that, like, what I need doesn't matter, or what I need isn't important. And so we forget that, like, that having boundaries, like Brianna said, is essential for being able to stay healthy and well ourselves so we can show up as a good relative for others. I know, like, for myself, having not had boundaries for so many years and now exploring and learning how to identify my boundaries and create my boundaries and maintain my boundaries, there's a lot more resentment that I have, right? And resentment is so incredibly toxic in relationships. Boundaries are not about keeping others out, like Brianna said, it's about keeping ourselves safe and well. Once you figure out, like, what is it that you want and need, then that helps you be able to set what the boundary is. And then the other thing, like for me anyway, and I don't know if this is helpful for others, but one of the things that's helpful for me is like tuning in, and I literally feel in my body when a boundary is being crossed, right? Because there's an activation. And Gabor Mate talks about this, is that, you know, anger in and of itself is actually really, it's really important. Like when a boundary is crossed and we get angry, that's a way for us to be able, it's like a biological way that we like are like, no, and we enforce it, right? So like when I'm noticing an activation in an encounter, it could be something around a boundary, not necessarily, but so like that's where you get curious then, like, is this a trauma response or is this a boundary being crossed? And if it's a boundary being crossed, what do I need to do to reestablish that? It's not something that we're innately born with. It's like anything, it's a skill. And so the more you practice it, the better you get at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so wonderful. And I'm curious, do you see parallels between this boundaries work and cultural teachings? I mean, we have the being a good relative, we have the seven grandfather teachings and things like that. Is there something maybe particular that you see as a parallel with like the cultural aspect?
I know in season three, one of the topics that I was passionate about is understanding attachment. Attachment goes back to when we're infants and when we're babies. And that information is not necessarily known, and yet it impacts all of our relationships. You know, we have a topic on food as medicine. Susan and I in season two also did an episode with Dr. Joe Taffer talking about plant medicines and how psychedelics and plant medicines can really be an amazing tool to help us to connect to ourselves and connecting into the sacred. And so that was a really different topic that our Indigenous communities need to really be thinking about, and how some of these different tools, some of these different healing modalities can help our communities. As Indigenous people, you know, we take care of one another. And sort of going back to what Susan said a little bit ago was that we often give and give and give and give and give. And that's who we are as Indigenous people. Like, we take care of one another. And regardless of the situations, like, that's just who we are. We never leave anybody out. And I feel like that is a challenge because we often overextend ourselves to the point where it's too much, right? But that's who we are. I can't remember where I've heard this at, but I heard that when you are feeling activated, when you are feeling triggered, when you're starting to feel discomfort in you, when you're interacting with someone, it means that when those difficult feelings come up, they're crossing a boundary of yours. They're crossing a value. They're crossing something of yours. And so that, you know, you say you have to sort of like stop, pause and notice and be open and be curious about what that is. And so when I really started to think about, I need to have boundaries, I needed to get clear about what my values are. And then I was able to understand my value, which then I was able to get clear about what boundary needed to be put up. Some words of encouragement to those who are just starting this path. Number one, to be gentle on yourself, you know, to know that there is so much of this unlearning and relearning that needs to happen. And those patterns didn't happen overnight. And so getting out of those patterns certainly isn't going to happen overnight either. And so be patient with yourself. Give yourself grace. Give yourself compassion, and have compassion and empathy for others as we are all figuring out what this healing path is looking like for all of us.
How about you, Susan?
I guess what I'd like to share is that I truly believe, we believe, Brianna and I, and this is why we do the work that we do, like we truly believe we are at a time and place. There are plenty of prophecies, whether it's our own prophecies or the prophecy of the eagle and condor, like there are so many prophecies that tell about this time that we're in right now. And we have the ability, individually and collectively, to choose a different path. But we really are at a critical moment, and we are all being invited to step onto this path of healing, because without it, we cannot stop. We cannot pause. We cannot notice. We don't know how to process difficult emotional energy. We don't know what to do with, you know, the thinking brain. Like, so remembering how to tune into those different parts of ourselves, body, heart, mind, and spirit. Listen to the language of those parts of ourselves. With our body, it's sensations. With our heart, it's our emotions. With our mind, it's our thinking. With our spirit, it's our intuition. So relearning how to tune into the language of those parts of ourselves so that we can have a more clear lens of the experiences that we're having internally and externally to be able to powerfully choose, intentionally choose how we want to move forward, shifting out of reaction into responding, shifting out of survival back into thriving.
I understand. Well, there is so much to think about. And I think, you know, one of my main takeaways is respecting my own intuition, respecting my emotions, and being able to take the time to feel and associate my surroundings with my boundaries. So recognizing what's going on and assessing how I feel on the inside and then going from there. But so often we're just like, blah, distracted. I'm looking at my phone. I'm, you know, thinking about tomorrow, that it's hard to really recognize those thoughts. Chimiguich, Brianna Matrius and Susan Bolio. And once again, that podcast is Remembering Resilience. Really great. You can check that out. We have that linked to our episode page at minnesotanativenews.org. What a great conversation. They're so fun.
Yeah, that was a really great conversation. I really appreciate them joining us. And thank you all for listening today. Chimiguich, I'm Ashley Stately.
And I'm Leah Lem. Gigawabamin, and we wish you health.
Minnesota Native News Community Health Conversations is supported by the Minnesota Department of Health. Find information about COVID vaccines and boosters online at mn.gov/COVID-19. Find more of our conversations at minnesotanativenews.org/community-conversations.
KFAI is proud to present Leela James at the Dakota, performing on Wednesday, March 27th and Thursday, March 28th. R&B powerhouse singer-songwriter Leela James is known for her soulful, commanding performances, carrying on the tradition of classic soul while putting a contemporary spin on the genre with her combination of rich, gritty vocals and highly personal songwriting. Tickets for Leela James can be found at the Dakota website. Visit dakotacooks.com for more details.
Through our music, through our art, through our stories, people gain a sense of who we are as a people beyond the cowboys and Indians.
This is Art Changes, stories on how creativity can change your community.
My name is Maggie Rosso. My title here at White Earth Land Recovery Project is Executive Director. I'm also the General Manager of KKWE Niji Radio. We're going into border communities of the reservation. So we worked with New York Mills. We brought our Ojibwe culture. They brought in the Finnish culture to share music.